Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful morning. I pray the Lord, may you bless your people. Through me, as they are ready to receive you by faith. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. In Africa, we say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. You are a good congregation. It's a privilege to be here in your midst today. I remember my last visit in 2022. I came here, and the first thing I saw was Ethiopian cross. And I was very much touched by that because it was from my country. And when I went back home, I shared this with my congregations. I said, look, I found a church under a tree. St. John, they are praying under a tree. And then I begin to explain to them, what was it like? And then we pray for you always. We pray for you always. In Africa, as it is true here, we pray for our brothers and sisters from around the globe, especially our friends and partners whom we know. May the Lord bless you, and may we cherish the joy of his resurrection. So today, I thank the leadership led by my brother, Jeremy, for giving me the opportunity to preach today. I was told that you have to manage your time because here is not Africa. But anyway, I'm aware of what the contact looks like here. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, the group of men that I spent good time with them doing Bible study. I learn a lot from them. They may say they learn a lot from me, but I learn a lot from them. So today I came with a message that you have been reading as our tradition. Our tradition, we are following lectionary, where we members of Anglican Church are asked to really pray morning, afternoon, and evening. And I hope you are familiar with the readings for today. I'd like to begin by saying that the books of the Bible from Genesis through to the book of Revelation are all pointing to one personality, Jesus Christ. And today, I can share with you as much as I can. But the one personality we are looking up to is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And the reason I say this is to make a reference point in my preaching on the contents of the readings we have for today. I must say that God's burning desire was for him to have intimate relationship with mankind. From the very beginning after the fall, God's burning desire was for him to have his created back. So we read from Jeremiah, and I want to give a picture, a vivid picture. When you go back, you can Google it and find what I'm talking about. A picture of a man who is standing in between two roads. He stands at the crossroad, wondering which road to take. And so he was speaking to himself, which road should I take? And at that junction, that crossroad, were two people. One of them dead, one of them alive. And so they both, you know, on different roads at that crossroads. The man here is dead, and the man here is alive. And the person who was wandering, asking himself, which road should I take, can actually see very clearly that there is someone alive and someone is just laying dead. But it is up to you to choose which one to ask. The Bible speaks of the Israelites, and God had to brought a case against his people, because we often seem to have forgotten the goodness of the Lord, and that is our humanity. And God sent his prophet Jeremiah, go and tell my people, I have been a father to you, and I've been providing all your needs. Not only that, I delivered you from hardship, from your slave's masters. And here you are forgotten, and even you choose to go back and be enslaved again. Come back. You are looking for an empty cistern, and I'm the living water. You know, as I was preparing, I began to go back to the time of the Old Testament, when the nomadic tribes would move around looking for water in the desert. And if they could find one, then they know the good use of it, the good use of water. You know, I was in Egypt. And in Egypt also, we have water problem. Not every tap you can just drink. And we were told, you know, here in Egypt, people like to waste a lot of water, even when we are in need of clean water. So the same thing in Africa. Water is very important. And the Lord is saying here, I am the living water. What a good picture this is. You see, in the Old Testament, we have biblical characters, and I want to mention some of them. Abraham walked with the Lord and was faithful to the point of sacrificing his only son. And he was a character of godly man who was with God and can only receive from the Lord all his lifetime. We have Joseph, a God-fearing man who was sold to the foreign land, and there Joseph remained faithful, even though he was like a slave in a foreign land. We have Anna, who spent all his life in the church praying. She refused to be married again after her lovely husband passed away. She was there, and the Lord anointed her a prophet. And not only that, she was able to see Jesus, the Messiah, and blessed him. We have Dorcas, Tabitha, who gave her life to serving the widows. And at her deathbed, those widows wouldn't allow her to pass on. They had to plead and pray and cry until Peter came and prayed for Dorcas. And there she was resurrected back to life. We had a number of people. And on this list, we can put our names if we believe. You can say, yes, my name is in line. I believe my name is in the book of life. Actually, the funny thing is that I don't know in the book of life whether God is using pencil or is using unreasonable pain. So because we sometimes we are on and off, but the Lord is faithful and just. He knows how to deal with us and how really to point us back to himself and say, look, I love you, I love you, I love you. What a God we serve. Sometimes we are deceived by these voices telling us, you are nothing. Look back to your past. And your answer would be, no, I can't look back to my past. What I have to look back to the past is the cross of Christ. You know, there was a time when I was thinking, I said, Lord, how can I understand the cross of Christ, the crucifixion? We have been talking about Jesus being crucified in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is away, far, far away from us. How can we understand the mystery of the crucifixion? You know, at that crossroad, when you are at that crossroad where there is no hope, where faith seemed to be diminishing, the crossroad is where you see the road that leads to life and the one that leads to death. The crossroad is where you want to have wrong ideas or wrong decision or the right decision, and there at the crossroad is where Jesus died. Calvary is here. You can sense it in your innermost being that Jesus died at the crossroad of your thoughts, crossroads of your decisions. Which way to take? Is it not a beautiful picture here that Jesus died at the crossroad? When you want to make good decision or bad decision, he died there at the crossroad when you are sick and looking for healing. And I pray today that may his word heals everyone who feel pains. Amen. So when it comes to Hebrews 13, you know, Hebrews 13 is a picture. It's a picture of a person, a believer, who is actually wandering. He likes to visit with Jesus, and he likes to come back and be himself in flesh. For us to live normal Christian life, we have to follow the ways of Jesus. And Jesus is saying here, invite me or allow me to be in the driving seat of the car of your life. You know, we can choose to love people because God created us with a free will of choice. But what are we doing with that free will of choice? Are we taking the wrong path or the right path? We can choose to open our homes to a stranger, or we can choose to close it at his face. We can choose to visit those in prison or stand with the persecuted church. We can choose to misbehave in our marriages or behave in our marriages. You know, as a married man, I struggle, as many of you would. I struggle in my marriage, right? I have some disagreement with my wife. But as a Christian married man, so I have to obey the Lord. And I have to make sure that I died for my wife. How many of you men have died for their wives today? Yes, I'm talking to men here.
Are you listening?
I think this is the hardest part, to die for your wife. And the hardest part also, to be humble to your husband and respect him. You know, biblical values are really far, far away from this generation. And we need to grasp the moment and say, Lord, be in the driving seat of my life. And so I can live a life worth of you. Because in the last day, in Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, Jesus would come and say, oh, welcome, good and faithful servant. When you were on earth, this is what you have done. And you wonder, oh, really? Did I do that? Yes, you have done good things for me. Whatever you did to your brother, good or bad, you did it to me, says the Lord. And he will come and say to those who are in his life and say, no, 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 no. You do not belong to here. You did very bad on earth. So you did not allow me to be on the driving seat of your life. This is a serious business here. Jesus wants to really take us to where he wants us to go. He wants us to reconcile with someone who hurt us. He wants us to reconcile as families with our wives, with our husbands and children. He wants us to be right with him and do his will alone. Only his will alone, not our will. So as I am concluding my preaching here, I like the picture from Jeremiah chapter 2 that we have read, that the Lord says, I am the living water. It's not wonderful? So we have to receive from him, and we can't do that without this one, humility. And Jesus was invited to a banquet, and he was watching people. They were taking good seats. They want to be in the front. And he said, yeah, now I can understand that everyone want to be, you know, want to be in the first seat. You know, many years ago, when I was studying in primary school, we had no, you know, enough classes. You see, like, more than 100 kids are in one class. And when the list is read out, the list of our names, if your name is way back, it's the last, you are grumbling. Why? I want my name to be on, to be the first on the list. You go to your monitor and say, why my name? You know, I remember one time I said, why my name? And he said, well, we are using alphabetical order. And if you find your name in the last, it means you are J. You are not A. That's what it, you know, this is humanity. And Jesus said, no, we need to be humble. You need to correct yourself. You need to invite, not your friends only, you need to invite the outcasts. You need to invite the needy and dine with them. You know, we have this story. I want to conclude with this story. In a few moments, I will read something too. We had a man called John Barnack. That was years back in 2004. This man was to thank the Lord for his blessing. He struggled, you know, in life. And after the Lord blessed him, you know, he got a nice job. He got a good home. And guess what? He did not call his friends. He went to every corner of our place in Gambela and looked for blind, for the crippled. Because this man read this passage and he gathered all the disabled and put them together. And he had this big cow They had amazing celebration together. If someone comes and look at them, and the one, the preacher actually was a crippled man who preached to blind people, and they had so well. And when we heard that story, we were ashamed to ourselves, because what I used to do is to invite a friend who will invite me tomorrow, is to invite a person who will say, thank you so much, and reward me back. But the Lord is saying here, no, do the opposite. Do the opposite. Let me conclude with this story, and I will read it for you. A story of a boy who wants to become an NBA star. A few years ago, there was a young soccer ball player whose ambition was to become an NBA star. On one occasion, a good Samaritan heard about the story of the boy and decided to meet him. Therefore, he flew to where the boy was. On arriving, the man saw the boy playing in a soccer ball field and recognized him to be the one he was looking for. Then the boy turned to the man with a shining face. The boy had 10 siblings, and they were 11 children to their parents. They all lived together in their small way. Now, the visiting stranger had a paycheck of $1,000 for the boy to buy some sportswear and then use the rest of money to buy food for the family. Unfortunately, the boy turned him down by rejecting his cash. Then the man asked the boy, saying, why would you not accept my offer? His answer was astounding. The boy said, I don't need cash money. What I do need is just fly tickets to Indiana to attend soccer ball champion competition with NBA stars. I want to be present and watch the game by myself, because my vision is to be an NBA champion for my country. Touched by the vision of the young boy, the stranger goes back and then got flight tickets for the boy and his mom, so that they can fly to Indiana to attend the soccer ball tournament with NBA champions. This was wholesome news to the boy, who gives all his focus and energy in his pursuit for an NBA star. Finally, his ambition was satisfied and his vision enlightened. The boy had to reject an offer of a good sum of money, since becoming an NBA star was everything he had wanted to pursue in life. What is the lesson here? The lesson is that as Christians, our greatest ambition should be to pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Therefore, we must reject fleshly desires for eternal life through Christ our Lord. Let us allow Jesus to sit in the driving seat of our life, and he will secure its restfulness. When we give 10% of our time to God, he will then make the best out of it and then give it back to us in a full measure. That is 100%. Give all your love to the Lord, and he will use it for his glory. I want us to recite this together. I don't know, but we like in Africa to recite things, and I hope you do. May I ask your permission, please stand up with me. Thank you. I want to recite with you three statements that the Lord has given me. Many years back, the Lord really teached me a lot. When we recite things, they become part of us. Number one, I will allow God to sit in the driving seat of my life.
I will allow God to sit in the driving seat of my life.
Number two, I will serve him faithfully and never give up in doing good work. I will serve him faithfully and never give up in doing good work. Number three, I will keep pressing on until he comes again in glory. I will keep pressing on
until he comes again in glory.
Let's pray. Let's bow down and pray. And I'd like to pray for St. John, for the congregations, and for those who are going through hardship. For the Lord to bless you and heal you, and for the Lord to provide all your needs. Father God, I thank you for my brethren, this vibrant congregation, lovely people, who have made the right decision to take the right path because you brought salvation to earth. And this is what our souls have been longing for. Lord, I pray, may you bless St. John and use St. John as an instrument in this part of the world, an instrument for salvation, to reach out to those who are in despair. I pray, Father, if anyone is sick among them, let them be healed. I pray, Father, if anyone is struggling in life, may they find rest. I pray for the leadership, for Jeremy and everyone here, Lord, and I thank you for our friendship together. May we echo the sound and the joy of heavenly trumpets, and we sing together as we meditate on your word, as we lift up our hearts toward you. May heaven rejoice, and may the earth echo that joy. Come, Holy Father, and be in our midst. We give you the driving seat of our lives to take us where you want us to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.